With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome. This is Warrior Saturday, September 9th, 2023, on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today you're all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. You know, I want to thank you. And I want you to understand that I want to give you the information about what is happening in Washington, D.C. with legislation regarding families and children, and also just different headlines that you may have missed because, you know what, mainstream media does not cover the issues of human trafficking, which I like to call human slavery because the word slavery is much more descriptive. This is happening online and in real time, and that is why I tell you all the time that you must take action. We have to protect children online and in real time. You can no longer sit on the sidelines. It is 2023. I'm going to keep saying this until you go to sleep. You wake up, you're going to repeat after me. You can and must do something. Community creates change. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in. Listen up. Get ready to take your weekly warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from New York City. Let's rock and roll. I want to remind everybody, you actually have no excuse. We have expert guests, topics here, free speech on TNT Radio, 24 hours a day, the only online 24 hour a day giving you news. I mean, you have no excuse not to know what is going on, not only in the United States, but around the world. And if you missed any episodes, go to that episodes tab. Very easy. Click on it. Listen. Website, everybody, tntradio.live. I have to mention something. First, everybody, bear with me. The voice is a little rough, but that's okay. I'm getting the information out there. I talk so much, I lose my voice sometimes, but I think we're good to go. You know, I'm sitting here in New York City, and Monday is the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, that horrible day in our history. And I was thinking about this. We have to always make sure the kids, we reassure them everything, the children, reassure them that everything will be okay. No matter what you think, you have to be the strong one. You know, as far as 9/11 goes, we were told always never forget. Being right here in the epicenter of what went on 22 years ago, I think most people have forgotten because nobody's really, really talking about it. I'm bringing this up because I want, you know, the children may see something on the news, definitely see something online. We have Lahaina in Hawaii, Maui. We have hurricanes. Now we have other things happening today as far as earthquakes. You must talk to your children. Get the information to them directly. Do not let facts and misinformation, because I'll tell you, a couple of people sent me information to check things out about different child issues. And when I do just a very preliminary research, these pictures are from 5 years ago. The picture does not go with the story. The person who sent them this story, I don't know who this person is. So we have to do a better job on vetting information. Do not just take something somebody sends you and repeat it, send it out there. Make sure, do everything in your power to do a little research, to understand what this is before you share it, because that causes the hysteria and the misinformation and the disinformation online, and we have enough of that. I always like to say this program may be disturbing because it's true, but something this week I want to share with you. I want to start talking specifically about big tech, and this week we're going to be talking about Apple. Now, shame on Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, and his board. And I'll tell you why. Forbes just did an expose, and it's about time. And you know what? I noticed that media is starting to step up a bit. Remember, it's never good enough, but it's a start. They did a very thorough and complete reporting and expose on what's going on in Apple. And I have to tell you, you know, we have, let me just try to explain this to you. Once again, Communications Decency Act, 1996, the birth of the internet. Now, at the time, this Section 230 allowed the internet to say, okay, we are acting as a billboard. we cannot be responsible for any third-party content. And that is where the problem lies today. And right now, we know that Apple doesn't do any proactive scanning of their technologies or their storages or any transmissions to assist law enforcement to stop child exploitation. I mean, they do zero. Now, we have problems with every single platform. I'm singling Apple out because they are the worst of the whole bunch, no pun intended. You know, as far as the platforms are all trying to do a little something. Again, it's not good enough, but they do have tools in place to try to weed out this CSAM, this child sexual abuse material. Mass scanning of Apple users would open the door, you know, for bulk surveillance. And that is what people fight, you know, whether they're lobbyists in Washington, they fight, they talk about the First Amendment. They talk about, well, if we open this up and we're scanning. And I'm trying to break this down and make it very simple for you because I know it gets very complicated and dark. And what happens? People tune out when it gets complicated, dark. And let's face it, when it comes to trafficking things with children, I live it every day. People just don't want to hear about it. They do want to hear about it, though, when it happens to perhaps their child, their grandchild, or somebody they know. So we want to be preventive, proactive. But here's the thing. The other platforms at least are trying to screen. They're trying to report to NCMEC, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in Washington, D.C., which is the main clearinghouse where these reports go. We know last year alone, 32 million reports of online enticement or CSAM were reported to them at their cybertipline.org. But I don't understand how Apple, they're just ignoring everything, despite they could, you know, they could actually scan, I don't know, their iCloud with something called Photo DNA, which is one of the most widely adopted tools in fighting child exploitation material. And we even have, you know, several retired law enforcement, current law enforcement, who are just saying Apple is doing nothing. But what this Photo DNA does, it takes the software and converts images into these unique, now hang on everybody, follow along, converts the images into, these would be sexual images, children, into unique numerical values called hashes. And those can be compared against a database of known CSAM, child sexual abuse hashes. And then the match initiates further investigation. It sounds very simple, right? Apple refuses to do it. Facebook and Google have been using it for, I don't know, about a decade now, maybe over a decade. Snapchat has been using it only the last couple of years since 2020 because a lot of pressure has been put on them. But Apple hasn't even embraced it, opened the door for it, talked about it. The company doesn't do any proactive scanning of their technologies, again, or their storages to assist law enforcement. I can't understand why. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, why wouldn't they just do this one step, join everybody, join other, you know, big tech? I don't understand. They do not contribute. So Apple is bound by law to respond to search warrants. And also, all of the platforms are bound to report child sexual abuse material, the CSAM, it finds on its platforms to federal authorities, again, through the cyber tip line. And that's a great, I just want to point it out, cybertipline.org. If you come across a nude image of your child, or your child comes to you to say, this person is trying to force me, coerce me, doesn't matter if they've already exchanged images of your child, you keep your mouth shut is my advice. And you contact, of course, always 911, local law enforcement, number one. Number two, immediately, hand in hand, is cybertipline.org. Again, run by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in Washington. And you explain the case. There's no embarrassment here because this is an American crisis. I mean, we can no longer. I tell you this all the time, sit on the sidelines. Every single day, this is increasing. This is escalating. And I'm not understanding anything about Apple, but what I am understanding is that there is something new called the HEAT Initiative. And the Warriors, we are very proud to be part of this initiative. And a letter was just sent out to Tim Cook, CEO of Apple, and the board of Apple, that they must take immediate action to more robustly detect, report, and remove this CSAM on their platforms, on Apple's platforms, and create a user reporting mechanism for CSAM, child sexual abuse material. I'm going to keep repeating myself a little bit today. I don't understand why it is so difficult, why they wouldn't want to make people happy. Why? Let's break it down even further. Why wouldn't they want to protect children? So, you know what? This is something that even nobody can really understand. And law enforcement, think about law enforcement. They've been defunded over the last few years. Manpower definitely has dropped. A lot of law enforcement across the country has just, you know, retired early or gotten out of it. I mean, after all, who could blame them? Who would want to be in law enforcement today with everything that is going on in our society? So, the manpower is not there. And Apple can't step up to assist. I mean, why does it always fall on the parents or the caregiver? You know, that's their duty to protect. No, I think the platforms have a duty to protect. And the thing is, we're all sort of habituated to all of this. We're not paying attention. And that's the other thing I can't understand because, you know, we use the bicycle helmets, we use the seatbelts, right? Everybody goes along with that. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. We've heard all of this. But I should say the public is having a very hard time with this concept of the devices our children use. All of them are like an open door. I always say like opening your front door and welcoming the world in, no locks, just come on in, make yourself comfortable. If you think of that analogy, that is what these devices are like. And when I say that to somebody, they'll be like, oh, I get it. In the meantime, you have to step up and protect your children and protect yourselves. This goes for everybody. But we do want to push on these big tech platforms too. Why don't they, you know, take care of this up front? Now we're facing AI. Remember, anything with a minor, a child, is against the law. Why is it so tough? You know, I can be perhaps censored and others, I don't know, talking about an election, talking about COVID, talking about a vaccine, talking about a variety of topics, and they'll shut you down right away, or you'll get a community standard strike or whatever all of that is called. But this one issue of our precious children, whether it's cyberbullying, whether it's the predation, we know we have the epidemic of teenage boys with sextortion. We have kids killing themselves over this. Why won't they shut it down? It is very, very curious. But I'm very hopeful. The HEAT Initiative, we have some great partners with that. Child Fund, Enough is Enough, Thorn. We've got the Hope 365, the Brave Movement, National Protection Task Force. We're going to keep pushing on this. And that brings me to, we still have 6 pieces of bipartisan child safety legislation sitting there in Congress and a couple of other pieces right behind them waiting to go. Now, I'm going to cut them a little slack. I really shouldn't. Congress will just be returning this week from their summer recess. I frankly, in my opinion, think America is in crisis in many different areas. Nobody should be taking a summer recess right now. We have too many important issues to deal with. But they are, and they're coming back this week. So our 118th Congress, we'd love to see them become the Child Safety Congress. We'd love for them to be these trailblazers. You know, I want to spend time today. We need to debate, dissect, analyze these bills. Now, go to the website, lynnswarriors.org. Go to my Take Action tab. You will see all of these bills laid out for you. But here's what you have to do. Here's where we need you. We need your help getting these bills passed. It is up to us. Coming back from summer recess, who knows? It might take them until their next recess to get back in the swing of things in Congress. But let's go. House.gov, Senate.gov, sign on. Power in numbers. Power in numbers. Certainly. I go to bed thinking about this. I wake up thinking about this. Certainly, everybody can get on board with protecting children. So why aren't they? Why aren't they? We need all of your help. It's really twofold. It's boots on the ground. Community creates change at a grassroots level, affecting change from the bottom up. That's household by household, community by community, which will spread out across the country and snowball. At least that's what I think. On the other two-prong approach that I like to think is legislation. We need child safety legislation. We need laws enforced. Remember, there are laws on the books. A lot of things have not been getting enforced at all in the last couple of years. Again, lack of attention, but also lack of resources, lack of manpower, lack of just, you know, this direct attack on our law enforcement. So we got to get back. We got to toughen up. We've got to fight every single day about all of this. And you know who's a fighter coming up? Noel Thomas. Noel is the CEO of Zero Trafficking. And his first exposure to the problem of human trafficking was atypical. And he'll tell us all about that. In 2007, Noel was touring internationally with his rock band. Oh, we want to hear all about that. When someone passed him a flyer raising awareness about human trafficking. And the rest is history. Noel Thomas and Lynn's Warriors here on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Katie Hopkins.
A German court. The Germans have refused to extradite to the UK a man accused of drug trafficking because of concerns about prison conditions in Britain. The case involves an Albanian man who lived in the UK. He was accused of trafficking 5 kilograms of cocaine and of laundering about 330k's worth of cash. So not like a big dude. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things. Westminster Magistrate Court issued an international arrest warrant. I mean, in fairness, politicians have stolen much more from people, haven't they? By trafficking PPE. I'm not sure this Albanian with his 5 kilograms of cocaine and laundering 300,000 is really a big deal to have an international arrest warrant. And the Germans have refused to return the Albanian drug trafficker to us because our prisons are so bad, they're worried that the Albanian won't be treated nicely.
Katie Hopkins on TNT Radio.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. You're with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Joining me today, and I am completely honored, is Noel Thomas, CEO of Zero Trafficking, formed in 2015, a data company bringing innovative data analysis and training solutions to the front lines of anti-trafficking. Zero Trafficking fights human trafficking networks with digital intelligence, proactively detecting and tracking sophisticated criminal organizations who exploit victims for profit through force, fraud, and coercion. Zero Trafficking believes that until counter-trafficking strategies adapt to the realities of organized trafficking and victim trauma, they will only be marginally successful. Please follow zerotrafficking.com. Noel Thomas, you are disrupting human trafficking networks. Thank you. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors.
Oh, my pleasure. It's great to be here today. Thank you, Lynn, for having me.
Absolutely. Now let's go. First, we got to start with, I'm intrigued by your story. You're a musician, and right. this kind of fell into your lap. And you know, Noel, I like to say that those of us who are passionate and have started organizations and really want to work on this crisis, we got a calling. That's at least what I like to say. We kind of just maybe never thought we'd be in this, you know, kind of area, and we find ourselves here. So tell us your story. I think it's very interesting.
So absolutely. You know, for me, it started at a young age. I remember one time we were in a flea market with my family, and in a few seconds, my dad was bumped. He looks down and my sister's missing. In that moment, he decided to have us split up and each go to various exits. And when he got to his exit, he saw a man walking out the door with my sister. So at a very young age, that left a very deep impression on me. Fast forward, I was playing in a Christian rock and roll band and toured all over the world. We went to 19 different countries. And I remember being in England, I get this flyer on human trafficking. And I think to myself, you know, I know about clean water, I know about other issues, but I really don't know much about human trafficking. And when I looked at that flyer and I saw that 32 million people were enslaved in human trafficking around the world, I had to do something. So I took a team, we went to India, I see it firsthand. And while I'm in the brothels of New Delhi, that area, filming, I see a 14-year-old girl that's being trafficked. She's kept behind these iron bars, and the police are actually helping facilitate the sale. And I thought the one person in the whole world that she should be able to trust, the police officer, is there helping facilitate this sale. And that quote by Edmund Burke that says that all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing struck me. So I came back, started a nonprofit, and that set me on the course for this lifelong passion to fight human trafficking.
Excellent. Excellent, Noel. I mean, it's so shocking that we have so many different things to talk about that, you know, police were helping, you know, this poor child, this poor victim. And what's more shocking, I'm a little bit digressing here, Noel, is that every day, I don't know if you encounter this, people, I'm in the middle of New York City. They're like so amazed when I tell them these facts. I've seen people clutch their chests. Like, it's almost like they don't believe me when I give them the truths, the facts. And I find that, Noel, one of the most shocking things. Why aren't more people able? I know it's dark and ugly, the whole subject. Nobody really wants to think about it. Why do you think, before we start digging in about a few other things, why do you think they don't want to confront this head on, our precious children? I mean, all people, let's go, let's solve it, let's get in front of it, let's educate, let's have PSAs, let's everybody talk about it. Why do you think it's so hard?
I think it's so hard to reconcile because, you know, like me, I thought it happened all over the world, but there's no way that this was happening in our backyards in America. And that just simply is not the case. I remember when I first started in counter-trafficking in 2007, 2008, we were going cross-country talking to people, and I had a very similar experience that you did. We went all the way from Florida to Seattle, and when we got there, a man said to me, "You've traveled across the country to talk about traffic tickets?" And that was the knowledge of human trafficking that he had. And, you know, I wish I could say that we're much further in our awareness today, but there's still a gap. And I think it's that cognitive dissonance of the idea that this heinous crime is occurring in our backyards. And I think that that's why people are not maybe willing to look at the problem or accept the fact that it's in every community. It's in, you know, every type of socioeconomic community, and most certainly right here in America.
I mean, absolutely. And I must admit, Noel, that even I, before I got all involved, I really thought, I thought I was intelligent. I didn't know a lot about the subject because I always thought it was in other countries. I didn't realize the extent of right here in real time and also online. Now, let me just ask you, what do you think of the recent movie Sound of Freedom? Help or harm the whole thing?
Yeah. So, you know, we've always said as an organization, anytime that there's awareness being raised for this issue, whether it's in the form of media or a podcast like this, it's a good thing for the movement. And I think the ability to even talk about this on a big screen is a huge move in the right direction, where these subjects were taboo in the past. And you think about the kind of the different waves of awareness that are going on ever since Taken. Yeah. You know, that was kind of everyone's first introduction to the idea that, right, you know, human trafficking maybe exists, to now Sound of Freedom. And I think that as media continues to evolve around this issue and our understanding around this issue, it will only foster more conversation. And so for us, it really doesn't matter the medium which it comes, like, we just need to start talking about this. We need to talk about how this is impacting our local communities. And I think that the film has achieved its goal in creating that conversation with people. So I would say it helped.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. Anytime, you know, it's a movie. First of all, everybody has to calm down when there was any pushback. It's a movie. And anytime we can get the public to talk about something, which I witnessed here in New York, so many people contacted me, Noel, they're like, "You're right. You're right. Look at that." Like, you know, people are also visual, or maybe, you know, it's a movie, or they think Hollywood. Whatever it takes to get people to talk is what we want. So, and I'm also noticing for the first time here, media also in New York starting to now cover some stories, which they were not doing even 6 months ago. So maybe that helped facilitate the movie. I think it's all a good thing we're talking about it. Now, let's get into what you do. Now, after working with several state and federal task forces in Florida, you saw a lack of technology and analytics to support the dismantling of human traffickers. Now, explain what you do, what your company does, and explain really how you decided this missing piece and the overall landscape of the trafficking scene, because people, again, Noel, always say to me, No, you're exaggerating, Lynn. That's not really happening. Yes, it is. Explain.
Absolutely. So I was a statewide anti-trafficking coordinator in Florida under Rick Scott, and I worked with these 15 different task forces. I got the honor of actually going out on a raid operation and watching it from start to finish. And I noticed that law enforcement was manually looking on these advertising sites online. At that time, it was Backpage, and there's these other sexual advertising sites that these human traffickers use that law enforcement was manually looking at. And so we thought there's got to be a better way to speed up this intelligence process and collections process. And we created an automated tool that scrapes the internet looking for keywords, images, and phrases from these ads. And then we put artificial intelligence behind it to draw down different insights. And that was are kind of entering this world of understanding how technology can take things that normally could take up to 2 years in these human trafficking investigations and providing insights in a matter of minutes to go out and do these operations. And we believe that solving that challenge of efficiency and making it easier to do these investigations, easier to do these prosecutions, easier to provide services to those that have been affected by human trafficking, aided by technology. It's like we can actually use the technology for good, and maybe for the intention that some of the creators had for this technology. So not all technology is evil. It definitely can assist evil, but it can also help fight evil and provide a solution that's absolutely necessary.
I'm glad you said that, Noel, because always with the good comes the bad. You know, we have to always weigh against everything going on online. Let me ask you, people will always say to me, Lynn, why is this happening? So I know what my answer always is. What's your answer if somebody says, you know, how can this be? Why is this happening?
So human trafficking is a $150 billion industry. Behind this is economics. And you think about this with the case of Boko Haram that moved into sex trafficking. For those that don't know, Boko Haram is an international terrorist organization. There's these organizations that are finding that human trafficking is more profitable than drugs and weapons. And if you think about it, you could sell that drug or that weapon one time. You could sell these victims of human trafficking up to 20 times per day. So the business model makes sense for organized crime, for terrorist organizations and others that are perpetuating this exploitation to move into it because it is so lucrative. And we always say the old adage is if you follow the money, you will find the sources of this trafficking. But to your direct question, this all stems out of greed. And it's a business enterprise for these large organized crime groups.
I'm always like money and lots of it. Like that's always my answer. Lots of it. Right. And I also feel like, Noel, we probably don't even know, especially over the last few years where things have really escalated. We don't even know the amount of money. It's probably much, much higher. Any figures we ever get, I always say much, much higher. What do you find? I want you also to review, go over how I want people to understand it's not just human trafficking. I like to think of it as a big wheel with kind of a lot of spokes, how the trafficking is connected into all these other, you touched upon it a little bit, these other criminal enterprises going on. It's all fitting together. Could you speak about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So I have a book coming out, Dark Traffic, in April 2024, and we go specifically into how human trafficking is going beyond how we traditionally think of sex trafficking and labor trafficking. It's migrating into organ trafficking, the trafficking of human organs. It's moving into sports trafficking. I'll be speaking at the United Nations this month about technology and fighting sports trafficking. But you have these fake agents that prey on these individuals in poor countries, get them into the sports, and then they never, as they rise into the ranks of success, these sports stars never see the profits from their hard work. And so they're actually labor trafficked into sports. And so, you know, the categories that we have for human trafficking are very much in their infancy. We're finding new types of trafficking, including sextortion, a digital form of human trafficking, pig butchering, which is a romance scam. And now you've got individuals that have been trafficked in the past are now committing these romance scams on behalf of organized crime. And it's very sophisticated and using cryptocurrency. And you see another type of human trafficking that's emerging where it starts out as a smuggling operation. The individual comes into the US, but they can't pay off the coyote's fees. And so the coyote will then have them commit mass retail theft. So they call this organized retail crime. And these individuals that are committing the thefts, they then are charged with the crimes. And then we're never reaching the traffickers that are actually the architects of this type of crime. And so we're finding a lot of different nuances in human trafficking. And our old understanding that we've seen in the older movies is changing as the crime evolves and it becomes more sophisticated.
I mean, I hate to say it, Noel, I feel like these predators, these traffickers, these criminals, they're always like 10 steps ahead. It just feels to me like once we get a handle on something, they're on to the next thing. Here in New York City, we see forced begging. I'm seeing, I couldn't tell you because they're covered in hoodies and masks, even in 95 degree heat, Noel. You know, they jump out of the traffic lights on the West Side Highway or East Side, FDR Drive, selling fruit and water bottles. I've seen them with babies on their backs. I dare say this is, and of course, I'm reporting it all the time, but, you know, this is a form of trafficking. It's not just the white van. People are so used to, you know, they think it's the white van. And also we have surrogacy, which is a form of trafficking. Mm-hmm. A lot of this we saw through Ukraine. And also something we really don't talk about because it's so horrendous. And you mentioned organ trafficking. I mean, this is happening. Homeland Security reports to me on the border and nobody's talking about it. They will find gutted bodies and things like that. I know I'm speaking the truth right now, but that's something I think as horrible as it is, we have to talk a little bit more about. I am understanding there's a lot of money being made from this organ trafficking, harvesting, whatever we're calling it these days. Why do you think nobody really talks about that in the United States? You know, sometimes we hear about it in China, in a few other places. Is it just, it's so ugly, we can't even get people to understand regular trafficking, so we don't dare go near the organ trafficking?
I think that's part of it. I think the because of the nature of it and how lucrative it is very shrouded in secrecy of how organ trafficking operates. And, you know, to your point, it takes a lot of different forms, this organ trafficking, and there are gutted bodies. And I think, you know, we learn a lot about these issues through media, good and bad. And you know, everyone has this picture that it's the bathtub and ice scenario. And it may not necessarily be that. It may be that someone is going overseas to get an operation and end up falling prey to organ trafficking. It might be someone that's involved in labor trafficking or smuggled. And then these criminals will then harvest portions of their organs because it's so lucrative. And so it can take on a lot of different forms. And I think that we're just very much on the forefront of understanding this complex network of transporting the organs themselves, the removal and harvesting of the organs, and the markets that facilitate the organ trafficking itself.
Now, Noel, let me point out zerotrafficking.com is the website. We have to get into the internet, which fuels today, would you say most? Would you say that's true or false? Most of what's happening. Two, it could be, you know, somebody in their bedroom, which again, we advise no devices in bedrooms. I'm talking about children right now. That's what people also don't understand. It can happen at your kitchen table because everybody has access and is using the internet these days. So tell us a little bit about the internet. And also, I have to bring it up, Noel. I'm sorry. AI, I'm completely frightened about where this might go with AI. Fill us in. You're the expert.
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, the internet has definitely fueled it. And the more globalization that occurs through the internet, the more that we're seeing the commoditization of everything. Which in this case also includes humans. And so there is, you know, kind of the common myth that this all happens on the dark web. And most certainly human trafficking and exploitation does happen on the dark web. But because human trafficking is so lucrative, and specifically in sex trafficking, these sex traffickers have to reach an audience they're using the clear web, they're using social media, they're using traditional advertising sites to get the word out about their services. And that's what makes it kind of so easy to detect their digital footprints, is because they're so loud, because their business model relies on that. And so the internet does facilitate that. It does create a demand for this. I think, you know, the other piece that we often don't want to talk about is how the adult entertainment industry, and specifically pornography, drives the demand for this and is tangentially connected to exploitation. And we're finding more sophisticated ways, of course, that technology is doing this. And you mentioned, you know, that AI is a double-sided coin. You know, for us, it helps us find trends and patterns of human traffickers, and creates automation to draw down insights on this information online. But there's been several news articles that are talking about generative AI taking the face of an individual and placing them on pornographic or exploitive images against their consent. And this becomes a problem when this is our children, and creates this new type of exploitation that, first of all, our laws are not even at a place that are addressing generative AI and the exploitation that occurs from generative AI. And that's only one angle of how the AI is used for exploitation. The other way that AI is used for exploitation is that AI is now creating a new class of cybercrime, which is closely tied to sextortion and these romance scams. And so these individuals think that they're finding love on the internet, and on the other side, it's cyber criminals that are using AI to exploit them. And I think the saddest thing about that is that in these AI-driven crimes, specifically sextortion, you're finding that teens are committing suicide because of the shame. Their images are out there, and now organized crime is extorting them for either more content or some financial gain. And these kids don't see a way out. And so that's kind of the saddest thing, is that this AI is having a huge real world impact, and really, I believe, is leading to the loss of life as it relates to sextortion and some of these other cyber crimes and frauds.
I mean, absolutely. And we also, something I always say, you know, Noel, is we have to get over the embarrassment, because our children are killing themselves. It's a little blatant when I say it that way, of parents reacting or caregivers or yelling about nude images, because I work with a lot of schools across the country, and the teachers tell me the kids are constantly exchanging, you know, sexual images or nude images. They think nothing of doing this. We have to do a better job, and parents, of stepping up and, okay, you did it, now we're going to take care of it. As opposed to somebody, I've heard this, Noel, over and over, we had dinner, they were fine, and in the morning, they're dead in their bedroom. And so we have to do a better job on getting these issues out into the public, you know, and educating them. And the parents have to wake up. I used to kind of stay away from, I don't want to be judgy with parents, but I think this is such a crisis right now with our children in America. We have to go hard and tell them this is what's happening. Now, I want to find out, what do you think is the one issue right now everybody should be looking at? Because remember, people can only handle kind of one or two things at a time. What would you tell them right now is the number one thing they should look at?
I would say, so you were talking about the internet safety and as it relates to children. I think that this is the one that has the closest impact and could literally save a life. We do a lot of training with parents and private schools and schools in general on this issue, because to your point, it's something that is such commonplace, I think, that shocks parents often. And you think about this issue, this is the one thing that parents are trying to lead their children in, where their children actually know more about the subject of technology than the parent. And that creates kind of a gap in knowledge and information. And if one of the things that we can convey is that these risks are out there on the internet. These are not overblown. It's on dating sites, it's on social media, it's on gaming sites. And as parents, we need to be vigilant in protecting our children. And to your point, the thing that I think is really most important on top of the vigilance is a safe place And parents have to let their children know that it's okay if this has happened, and rather than shaming them or enforcing them further into isolation, is to create a space that fosters a conversation, and that conversation and that environment of trust might just save a life. And so if I had to pick one thing that's immediately affecting us, I would drill specifically into that, because I think it has such dire consequences when we don't create a safe environment and understand the risks that the internet brings.
So we have to do that as parents and caregivers with the children. The flip side of that is legislation. And I also want to point out, Noel, I mean, these are bipartisan issues. They belong to no political party. I don't know if you heard me earlier. I don't know exactly when you tuned in, but you know, we have to do a better job in Washington. We've got a lot of legislation right now, bipartisan, and it's just at the kind of the finish line, not going anywhere right now, but we have high hopes when they come back this week from their, I guess, much needed recess, that we'll get something over that line. So I always want, Noel, people to understand that while this is happening, they also at their home level, community level, have to take action and do that. Tell us about your Dark Watch. That is your training. What is that?
Yeah, so Dark Watch is a series of methodologies that come from military skills in hunting terrorist organizations and applying that to the problem set of looking for human trafficking. In that, it also is a geospatial map that shows the hotspots of human trafficking. So as we push legislation in our backyards and we know where and which districts to work with, and to your point, these tools within Dark Watch and the training and methodologies that we use are bipartisan. It's for everyone to fight human trafficking. So I couldn't agree more with that sentiment.
No, I mean, I never understand, like, everybody needs to get on board with protecting children. We talk about children a lot, but also protecting all people. I mean, this is a human rights abuse issue going on. So let me ask you something. What do you think, where are most of these servers? I heard they're in a lot of other countries. They're not here in the United States. Is that one of the problems in trying to keep up with, as I was reading something where things are happening in real time, and it could be, you know, I'm breaking it down, being a little simple here, Noel, but, you know, in another country. So it's very hard for law enforcement. How do you get there? How do you stop that if it's a server in another country? Give us sort of a brief, like, overview. How is this all working? This criminal enterprise happening all over the world. How would we address that?
Yeah, so that is a huge problem with these servers in other parts of the world. And there's specific tools for combing the dark web, for combing cryptocurrency transactions that helps us bypass some of these blocks that the criminals have put up. But another approach with legislation of going after these is, you know, that FOSTA-SESTA, the laws that allow victims to sue the platforms that facilitate their traffickers for trafficking, we're finding that there's more lawsuits that are coming forward. We had most recently a major lawsuit against the JP Morgan, $290 million payout to the survivors of Epstein and Deutsche Bank and these other banks that have paid out. There's been hotels that have been paying out as part of these lawsuits. And so I think that this is great to empower survivors of human trafficking to have recourse against the institutions that have looked the other way. And as it specifically relates to these servers and platforms, because human trafficking inherently often touches the internet at some point or another, is it creates an opportunity for these survivors and class action firms to bring lawsuits against these platforms that facilitate it. And if the servers are here in the U.S. or the platform itself is in the U.S., then they would be liable under the FOSTA-SESTA laws.
Now, Noel, I also earlier was talking about Apple and Tim Cook and the board. They're like the worst. They're at the bottom of the barrel for, like, detecting, reporting any of this CSAM, this child sexual abuse material. Why do you think they're dragging, in your opinion, their feet? It seems like they could easily try like some of the other platforms to do something. and they are just pretty much not doing much of anything. What, do you have anything to say about that?
So I would say that one of the things that's been really illuminating to us as we work in this issue is just the overwhelming volume that's occurring on these platforms. And I think that a lot of times that a platform that may look the other way, they're doing so, one, based on the volume, but two, because when they look, it creates liability. And we know for a fact that there are certain platforms that will not amp up their trust and safety, remove users, because if they're removing users from the platform, then they have to report a decrease of user count to their shareholders. And so their business model inherently almost prohibits them from keeping these bad actors off the platform. And so I think that this is a problem that extends to a lot of different platforms. I think too, in the way that we've tried to solve these problems just with AI, that's the other challenge. You know, there's downsides and limitations to AI. You need more than AI. You need a company that takes on a strong policy. You need company-wide training. You need the right tools beyond this. And so that's why I would kind of theorize that any company might be, it's a mix of this.
And that's why these companies need zero trafficking. Now, Noel, how can the public step up and help you? What do you need from the public?
So, you know, it starts with a conversation. We're having this conversation here and, you know, the millions of listeners that are listening, it's important to have a conversation with your children. It's important to have a conversation with your community. And starting that conversation is absolutely vital. Of course, you know, groups bring us in to speak, to train them, everything from Fortune 500s to schools to parent groups, to churches, and everything in between. And of course, you can interact with us in that way. But I think that just having that basic conversation is a start. And two, you hit the nail on the head of getting into legislation and pushing bipartisan legislation. And it seems so obvious and intuitive that we should have this legislation that's protecting our children, that's protecting the vulnerable and the oppressed, and really pushing the politicians that represent us, that we've elected, to do their jobs and to keep our community safe, to keep our children safe, and to keep those exploited safe. And lastly, you know, if a company needs technology or just wants insights, we're always happy to just help and provide information, because our job as a business is actually to put ourselves out of business because we've solved the problem so well. And so we're happy to interact with anyone in any way that's helpful to them and gives them the tools that they need to fight trafficking.
Great final words, but no, we don't want you to go out of business. We have a lot of work ahead of us coming up. Noel Thomas, CEO of Zero Trafficking. It was an honor, sir, really, to speak with you today. Thank you for taking the time to talk about these tough issues and the tough work you do, because I know it's not easy. So please continue doing it, speaking up, speaking out, and educating everybody. ZeroTrafficking.com is the website. Noel Thomas, you're our warrior for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, Lynn.
Absolutely. Now we're going to have your weekend warrior wrap up. You know, we just were talking with Noel Thomas. ZeroTrafficking.com is the website. And it seems like everything is kind of stacked against us. And that's where we need your help, whether it's Zero Trafficking, Lynn's Warriors, the overall subject. A lot of organizations, a lot of nonprofits out there. It starts with you. We need you. You are constituents. We need you, House.gov, Senate.gov, to write. First of all, most people, I realize, they don't know who even represents them. It's very simple. Don't get overwhelmed. House.gov, Senate.gov. And it's lined up for you. You plug in your zip code. You plug in your state. It'll tell you who represents you. Short and sweet. You know, we want the Earn It Act. We want the Kids Online Safety Act. Whatever that may be, you can go to ZeroTrafficking.com. You can learn more. You can go to LynnsWarriors.org and learn more. I have it all laid out for you. We do the heavy lifting for you, but we need you to sign on. We need your help. with all of that. There's power in numbers. The other resource I like to point out is the DirtyDozenList.com. DirtyDozenList.com, everybody. And that's from our partners, National Center on Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. And this is an annual campaign of 12 entities, companies, that are not doing enough to remove sexual content, or they're allowing things. And they have lined up 12 entities. They describe, you have 12 little boxes. If you go to the website, DirtyDozenList.com, they'll tell you exactly why they're on the list. It's an annual campaign. You just check off each box. I'm going to tell you out there, warriors, it takes less than 5 minutes. You put in your name and your zip code, whatever it's requiring of you, and it will automatically go. We're talking about Apple, goes off to Apple, goes off to Snapchat, goes off the perennial one, OnlyFans, everybody. Actually, that's a warning. OnlyFans, everybody, run the other way. That's all I'm going to say. We really need to do a better job of empowering about OnlyFans. That is not a cute site. I'm digressing everybody a little bit. So many girls and boys, teenagers, are lifting their tops up or doing things for $5. It is a trafficking exploitation site. That is my opinion. I'm saying it. That is always on the Dirty Dozen list. But these are easy things where you can help. So again, that website is DirtyDozenList.com. Participate. If you did just that, you know, if you do one thing, you will feel so good about yourself. Snapchat was recently, it is on the list actually, but it was just this past week put on the watch list. It was moved over. Once they start taking action, any of these platforms or companies, they get moved over, and it has to be, you know, viable. It has to be something good, the process. They have to actually be making a difference. So once they do something, they get moved to the watch list. And Snapchat made some crucial changes after being chased down by the Dirty Dozen list, which is so excellent. They heard the concerns, and now they are protecting teens from being contacted by people they may not know in real life. Now, again, I remind you, all of these devices, children 9 to 17 have access to 4 different devices, warriors. That could be their phone, their Chromebooks, their laptops, monitors, gaming consoles. It's all in the mix. We know. If you don't talk to kids about safety, or if you don't know, you don't talk to the kids about, it should be friends and family on these platforms. It is an open forum for predation. And the kids don't know. The kids don't know. They think they're gaming with somebody, playing with somebody. A young woman, a lot of girls, we talked about it, you know, with Noel Thomas a little bit, you know, these Romeo scams and romance type things. And they're getting a little attention. They're getting the attention online. That is the crux of all of this, especially coming through COVID, a lot of isolation, kids out of school, out of clubs, not with their friends. We're suffering the effects right now from all of this. The studies are coming out. Again, I would advise you to go, you know, endsexualexploitation.org, lenswarriors.org. I'm going to keep saying zerotrafficking.com. Find out, educate yourself, what is happening. That is the first step. It sounds very simple. It's raising awareness and having a couple of facts in front of you that you can easily work on. But Snapchat, at least, because I've been just railing against Snapchat, because I know that kids can easily buy drugs and have them delivered to their front door with a couple of clicks on Snapchat. Now, this seems criminal to me. Again, it's not being shut down. So now what they're going to do is protect teens, not only from people they don't know, they're going to show teens, and we'll see how this works, a pop-up warning if they add a friend who they don't share mutual friends with, or the person isn't in their contacts. In addition, they'll require teens to have a greater number of mutual friends before they can show up in search results or as a friend suggestion. And also increasing, and this is a big one, warriors, visibility for parents. We have to. I've had a lot of parents say to me, oh, I don't want to invade the children's privacy. First of all, I can't tell you when to give your child a phone or a device, but I can tell you, you have a duty. You have a duty. If you bought that device, I dare say you pay for the internet, then you must put safety features, filters on those devices. So let's wrap up with House.gov, Senate.gov. Find out who represents you. You are a constituent. You pay taxes. You have a right to ask that these things be enforced. We have to protect our children. Please sign up. I'm sending out a new Warriors newsletter on Monday, a couple of days from now, lenswarriors.org. Again, zerotrafficking.com. Education, education, education. So remember, it is up to each and every one of us. It is about communication. It is about not only communication with the kids, we have to talk to each other as adults, right? It's a family digital partnership. That's what I like to say in 2023. It's not just us with the kids. It's aunts, uncles, all family members, neighbors, family digital partnership. Get on board. This is the number one, in my opinion, American crisis happening right now. No one is coming to save us, but we've got, you know, zerotrafficking.com. You've got lynnswarriors.org. You got to start there. Thank you for listening. Please write to us. TNTradio.live is the website. We are here for you 24/7, 365. Thank you to Alex on the board, our engineer, for always keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our producer, and our entire TNT family for giving us this opportunity each and every week to share with you critical and crucial information. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Remember, today and every day, it's 2023. Culture shift. Don't sit on the sidelines. Empower, educate, and engage. Community creates change. Now go out and be a warrior.